Let's welcome Parables with Old Testament Rewind.
God's Story, Scene 1.
The Genesis.
Or, help God, we've messed up already.
In the beginning, there was nothing but God. And so God spoke, and there was light. Over the course of 7 days, God created all things. The earth, animals, fish, the entire universe, and finally, a man created to be like himself.
Not bad.
But God saw that the man was lonely, and so he created a woman to be his companion.
Not bad.
Everything was perfect. God had provided the man and the woman everything they needed, and they were in a relationship with him, just as he planned, until one day.
Hey, girlfriend.
Who, me?
No, I'm talking to the other only woman on the whole planet. Yes, you.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering, you and that dude you hang out with seem to have it pretty good around here. But I notice you never eat from this here tree. What's up with that?
Well, God has only given us one rule. We're not to eat the fruit from that tree. He said if we do, we'll die.
Oh, please. You won't die? Are you telling me you've got the run of the whole world and you're scared to eat from one little tree?
Hey, I'm not scared.
Bark, 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 bark.
I am not a chicken.
Bark, bark.
What?
So, prove it.
Oh!
Hey, Eve. I am one hungry, only man in the world. You got anything to eat around here? Ah, cool. Thanks.
Oh!
They had broken the one rule that God had given, and as a result, messed up a perfect relationship with the perfect God. They were banished from the Garden of Eden and had to spend their days laboring for the food that had once been provided for them. Time passed, and Adam and Eve had two sons. Abel was a shepherd.
Howdy!
And Cain was a farmer.
Yeehaw!
Hoo-wee! My herd has been so good lately. Nice and fat and healthy-like. I've just got God to thank for that. I'll make an offering of my best sheep to God. That's sure to please him.
Yeah, I just love being a farmer. I just love working in the hot sun all day. Thanks, God. Well, Abel's giving God some of his stuff. I guess I better, too. What are you looking at, Miss Thing? I ain't giving him my best stuff.
God was pleased with Abel's sincere offering of his best sheep. But Cain, well, not so much.
What?
God said to Cain, why are you angry? You need to get control of that stuff before it leads you to sin.
Yeah, I'll work on that. Forget that noise. Hey, Abel, little buddy, old pal. I got this one thing I've been meaning to show you in the field.
Show me what?
You know, this one thing. Ah,
And so Cain killed Abel, and the first murder had been committed. From then on, things didn't get much better. Man continued to grow further and further apart from God. And that relationship that God had once had with his people, his very reason for creating them, was long gone. So God decided to start over. He brought a huge flood on the earth, destroying everyone in the world except one man's family, whom he shut into a boat with two of every animal.
They were just wishing they were dead from the smell.
Noah's family was saved from the flood and got busy repopulating the earth. Scene 2, the promise. Time passed, and even though God had shown with the flood that he meant business, Most people ignored him and continued to sin. But a few people really did try to follow him. One such person was a man named...
Abraham!
What? What's going on? Who's there?
It's me, God.
Oh, I don't believe it. God is talking to me. But what have I done that you would honor me?
You have obeyed me, and so I make a promise to you. I will give you more descendants than the stars in the sky. I will make a nation of people out of you, and they will be my people.
Oh, this is wonderful. But I'm wondering, where am I going to put all these people? See, I only have this little tiny one-bedroom apartment, and it's got a...
I will give you a land of your own. I will show you a wonderful land that I will give to your descendants. You will defeat all those who live in the land if you trust and obey me. It will be a land flowing with milk and honey.
Wow.
Now go.
And so the promise was made, a promise that would show God's faithfulness time and again, even though it would be a while before it actually happened. Time passed, and Abraham and Sarah gave birth to a son. God came to Abraham and told him to sacrifice Isaac to him as a test. Abraham was just about to go through with it when an angel stopped him.
Stop, Abraham! You don't have to do this! God just wanted to trust to test your obedience to him. You pass.
Don't do that to me.
More time passed, and Isaac had kids of his own. Two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau had an argument over a trick that Jacob played on Esau. Fearing for his life, Jacob ran away to a place called Haran. Jacob eventually had 12 sons of his own, one of whom was named Joseph. The story of Joseph and his brothers is well known, so we can kind of fast forward through some of this. Jacob loved Joseph the most and gave him a special colored coat. The brothers hated Joseph and sold him into slavery. Joseph worked for a guy named Potiphar, but got thrown into prison when Potiphar's wife hit on him. Pharaoh was disturbed by some weird dreams and heard of a guy in prison who could interpret dreams. Joseph told Pharaoh that his dreams meant there was a famine coming throughout Egypt, and in 7 years there would be no food. Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of Egypt, and Joseph stockpiled food for the time of the famine, saving Egypt. Joseph's whole family joined Joseph in Egypt during the famine. Years passed, and Joseph's family got larger and larger. This is where God's promise to Abraham began to come true. Remember, Abraham was Joseph's great-grandfather? Eventually, Joseph died, but his family kept getting larger and larger. A new Pharaoh came into power who didn't remember Joseph or like the fact that all those Israelites were in Egypt. He enslaved them all, but they just kept on multiplying until there were about 2 million of them. The Pharaoh decided to put an end to the Israelites once and for all. He decreed that any Hebrew boys born during that time would be put to death. It was at this time that Moses was born.
Ta-da!
Scene 3, the Exodus, or Enter Moses, Exit Us. Get it? Get it? Exodus? Anyway, it was at this time that Moses was born.
Yeah, it flowed real well. Yeah. I was afraid I'd forget my lines during that bit.
It was at this time that Moses was born.
Oh, sorry. I am Moses. Okay, here's the deal. I was raised a prince, killed a man, kind of accidentally, kind of on purpose, and out of fear, fled for my life to Midian.
Welcome to Midian, land of mystery and adventure, and the finest merchandise this side of the Red Sea. Sir, can I introduce you in this beautiful...
No, thank you. So I'm in Midian. I get married, become a shepherd. Then God speaks to me through a burning bush. He tells me to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to release the Israelites from their slavery.
Moses, you must be joking.
So here I am.
I will never release your people.
Tough luck, Pharaoh. God is going to bring his power down on you.
And to make a long story short,
too late!
He did.
Let the plagues begin. Blood in the Nile.
Frogs, ribbit, ribbit.
Flies. Seven in one blow.
Gnats. Ow. Oh, they're awful. Oh, they're in my mouth. Oh.
Dead livestock. P.U.
Boils. Ah, it just boils all over. Oh, ah.
Hail.
Locust.
Darkness.
And finally, the death of every firstborn son in Egypt.
Israelites, if we put the blood of a perfect lamb over the doorposts, the angel of death will pass over when he kills all the firstborn sons.
And he did, but...
Moses, my son is dead. Take your people and go.
430 years of slavery ended. Israelites, come, follow me. We must leave Egypt before Pharaoh changes his mind.
And everything was going great.
We're following the leader, the leader, the leader. We're following
for about the first 5 minutes.
Moses, why'd you bring us out this way? The Red Sea's blocking our escape, and Pharaoh's changed his mind to send his whole army after us. I wish I was back in Egypt.
I wish I'd never followed you. I wish I was dead.
That's it.
And so God allowed Moses to part the Red Sea. Allowed Moses to part the Red Sea, leading the Israelites through on dry ground. But the Egyptians were destroyed as the water filled back in. Over that next year, many things happened as the Israelites wandered in the desert toward that land that God had promised Abraham, the place that had come to be known as the Promised Land. God gave them the Ten Commandments to obey, which they immediately began disobeying. They complained that they were hungry.
We're hungry!
So God gave them manna, which fell from the sky. They complained that they were thirsty.
We're thirsty!
So God gave them water from a rock. They got sick of manna.
We don't like manna.
So God provided quails for them to eat.
Tastes like chicken.
This is how it went for the year that it took to get to the Promised Land. The Israelites were disobedient and whiny, and God continued to forgive and provide until at last they arrived at the Promised Land.
Behold, the Promised Land, the land flowing with milk and honey.
Moses, does it have to be milk? I'm kind of lactose intolerant here.
Quiet! I sent spies into the land to tell us about what we will find there.
I'm back.
Well, what did you find?
There are many groups of people living there already.
What?
What? And they are huge.
What?
They will make dangerous enemies.
Oh, great. This is just great.
We never get anything we want.
I wish I was back in Egypt.
I wish I'd never followed you.
I wish I was dead.
Enough whining. God has promised to bring us to this, his promised land, yet you refuse to trust him.
God has promised to defeat our enemies for us. Yet you refuse to believe him. I've had enough of you.
I think you're right.
And so God, who had led the Israelites to the promised land, punished them. They were forced to wander the desert for the next 40 years. None of those who saw God's wonders in Egypt ever got to see the promised land.
Oh, man!
Including Moses.
Oh, man!
To make a long story short...
Too late!
40 years passed. Scene 4, wandering in the desert.
Or, get off at the next exit. I got sand in my shoe.
Moses died, and God chose a new leader for the Israelites named Joshua.
Hey there!
Joshua was humble.
Oh. Hi there.
And led the Israelites well. At last, it was time to re-enter the promised land. Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, and this time they were ready to trust God and do this whole thing his way.
Listen up, Israelites.
Oh. There are many groups of people living in the land who are going to try and stop us from moving in.
Didn't we make a reservation?
Pay attention.
Now, as long as we continue to obey God, we will defeat them. But if we disobey, we've got trouble. Come on.
And that was the way it worked. When they obeyed God and did things his way, nobody could stop them.
Yeah!
But when they let sin into the picture or disobeyed God, even the wimpiest of enemies beat them. And in this way, they eventually took over most of Canaan, the promised land. When they obeyed, they won.
Yeah!
When they disobeyed, they lost. They won some.
Yeah!
They lost some. Sometimes they...
We get the picture.
Okay, where was I?
In this way, they eventually took over most of Canaan, the promised land.
Right. Thanks. And in this way, they eventually took over most of Canaan, the promised land. Scene 5, entering the promised land.
Or milk and honey.
I thought you said elk and buddies, Doc. What, Doc?
Before his death, Joshua gave the Israelites some instructions.
Come. I'm going to die soon.
Die?
I didn't even know what you were sick.
I'm not sick. I'm old. Do you have any other questions or comments, or can I finish before I keel over right here? Thanks so much. Remember what God has done for you after I'm gone. Continue to obey him. One thing he wants you to do. Now that we possess most of the land in Canaan, he wants you to go and defeat the few remaining groups that are still there.
Oh, we have to...
Yes, you schmutzes, you do.
Why?
Because God knows what a bunch of schlemiels you are. Now, the people on the outskirts of the land worship false gods. God wants them gone so that the land will be totally dedicated to him and so that you will be tempted to worship false gods.
But we won't. Yeah, we promise.
Yeah, like I never heard that before.
And so Joshua died. And to
wait a second, because this is kind of my big scene, and I've been practicing for like 5 months for this.
I'm so sorry.
I kind of like it. I've got this thing planned.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And so Joshua died. And so Joshua died. And to make a long story short,
too late.
The Israelites ignored God's command to clear out all the other people living in Canaan. Scene 6, the judges.
Or, stop the ride. Going in circles like this makes me sick.
The time of the judges was a tricky one for the Israelites. They refused to obey God and clear out all the other people living in Canaan. And because of this sin, more sin followed. Soon they were marrying people they shouldn't have been marrying and following false gods. They pretty much abandoned God, and God allowed them to be captured and taken prisoner by their enemies.
God help us!
We've been beaten and captured by our enemies.
You know, isn't this really our own fault?
You mean, if we had cleared out our enemies like God told us to, none of this would have happened?
Yeah.
God help us! We've been beaten and captured by our enemies.
And so God sent them a leader, a judge, to lead them to victory against the enemies who had captured them.
Woohoo!
And this is how it went. For 325 years, the Israelites would follow and obey God, and he would bless them and give them victory over their enemies.
Charge!
But then they'd get kind of comfy, forget about God, and God would allow them to be beaten by their enemies.
Run away!
They'd cry out to God for help.
God help us! We've been beaten and captured by our enemies.
And God would send a new judge to free them.
Woohoo!
On and on it went like this.
Charge!
Run away! God help us! We've been beaten and captured by our enemies.
Woohoo! Charge!
Run away! God help us! We've been beaten and captured by our enemies.
Woohoo! Charge!
Run away!
Enough! Needless to say, they were caught in a terrible cycle of sin. During this time, a few people kept following God no matter what. People like Boaz.
Howdy.
Who was a simple rancher during this time. And Gideon.
Little lady.
Who was one of the judges God had sent to lead the Israelites to victory. But as I said, the cycle of sin and disobedience continued for 325 years. You may wonder, when does it end?
Where does it end?
It ends with scene 7, the kings.
Or, out of the frying pan, into the fire.
The last judge during this time was a guy named Samuel. But when he retired, the Israelites started whining again.
We don't want a judge anymore.
Yeah, we want a king.
The Philistines have a king.
The Amalekites have a king.
How come we can't have a king? We never get anything.
When they told this to Samuel, he was furious.
I'm furious. Don't you people know what a king would be like? He would take your sons and daughters and make them serve him. Working in his palace, cooking his meals, cleaning his stables, fighting in his armies. He would take the best of your lands and fields for himself. You'd be his slaves, practically.
Okay, blah, 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 yada, yada. Read our lips.
We want a king, and we want him now.
So God gave them a king.
Woo-hoo!
He knew that this would not solve everything, but he saw that they would have to learn that the hard way. During this time, there were many kings. First, King Saul. King Saul was a pretty good king for a while, but then he slipped into sin and disobedience, so God replaced him with David.
Bye-bye.
What?
You heard me. David was a very good king, and during his rule, the Israelites finally seemed to be on track, following God and being obedient. Don't get me wrong. David had his fair share of mess-ups, too, like the famous Bathsheba incident.
Do we always have to bring that up?
But overall, David had a great rule and was known for being a man after God's own heart. David set up the city of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and God promised David that his son would be the one to set up the temple, and that David's family would rule forever.
Yes!
So David died.
What? I just got here!
David died.
Whatever.
And Solomon became king. Solomon was a great king and did build the temple.
Yeah! Solomon built the temple! Let's hear it, everybody! Let's put a roof on this temple! Everybody say hey!
Hey!
Everybody say hi!
Hello!
Everybody say hey!
Hey!
Everybody in the back row!
But in the end, he blew it all.
Oh, man!
By disobeying God and worshiping false gods, Solomon set off a chain reaction.
A chain reaction! A chain reaction in the house! A chain reaction in the house! Let's get jiggy with it! Get jiggy with it! Yeah!
That led to Israel's ruin.
Wait. I did all that?
Yes.
Oh.
After Solomon's death, a kind of civil war broke out between the north and south of Israel.
Northern Israel is the best, South Israel is second best. Go north!
Ahmed, you know what time it is, right?
No, Ariana Stein, what time is it?
It's time for the perfect cheer.
You are so right.
Who's that Israelite that's the best?
It's me.
It's me.
Who's that Israelite that's the best?
It's me.
Uh-huh. Northern Israel, we don't want to hear it, because we're the Israelites with the most spirit.
So go back north and shut your mouth. The coolest news that come from the south.
Southern Spirit Rocks!
Oh, that was perfect. That was perfect. That was so good. It was perfectly perfect.
Israel was split as a result of Solomon's sin, just as God had warned. Both kingdoms, the north...
North!
And the south...
Southern Spirit Rocks! Woo!
...were led by king after king after king, almost all bad kings. Further and further from God, the nation of Israel grew until...
Wait a minute!
Yes, Solomon?
What about God's promise to my father that our family would rule forever and ever? These bad kings weren't from our family.
It's Jesus. Jesus is the king from your family who will rule forever.
Jesus?
I'm getting to it. Do you mind? You're supposed to be dead at this point.
Oh, sorry.
Where was I?
Further and further.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further and further from God, the nation of Israel grew until scene 8, the exile.
Or we'll be back.
During the time of the kings, God had sent prophets to warn the people. These were men sent by God to speak for him, warning people away from sin.
Please, folks, move away from the sin. Please, move back from the sin and back to the God of your ancestors. I am a trained professional. I know what I'm doing. There's nothing to see here. Go back to your obedient lives, citizens.
But no dice. Nothing worked. So God brought the ruin on Israel that he had told Solomon he would. Northern Israel was attacked by a country called Assyria. They were captured and hauled off to Assyria as slaves and servants. Southern Israel, now called Judah...
Who's the coolest of countries?
It's Judah. It's Judah.
Who's the coolest of countries?
It's Judah. It's Judah.
Uh-huh.
Do you mind?
Southern Spirit Rocks! Woo-hoo!
Judah was attacked by a country called Babylon. They too were captured and hauled off to Babylon as slaves and servants. During this time, lots of interesting stuff happened.
In the news today, a man named Isaiah, claiming to be a prophet of God, said there was coming soon, and I quote, a deliverer. The man said, "For unto us a child will be born, unto us a son will be given. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," end quote. For more on this, join us at 11.
Apparently, three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Bubblegum, were thrown into a fiery furnace today and survived. More on this at 11:05.
In a spectacular story today, a man named Daniel is thrown into a den of hungry lions and survives. That and more at 5 o'clock.
And in tonight's top story, Queen Esther, Queen of Persia, wife of King Xerxes, saves all the Jews in Persia from certain destruction. Film on this at 10:45.
Reports confirm that 50,000 Jews returned to the city of Jerusalem today. These Jews and their families were taken captive by Babylon 70 years ago. A spokesman for the Israelites confirms that they do plan to rebuild the temple, which was destroyed in the Babylonian attack. The rest of Jerusalem lies in ruins.
And so it went. The Jews had been exiled from their homeland, but even as captives in these foreign countries, God still used his people. Time passed, and to make a long story short,
too late!
70 years after they had been taken captive, the first of them began to make their way back to home. There was a man named Nehemiah who was still living in Persia at this time. When reports came back from Jerusalem that the city was in ruins, he was heartbroken.
Heartbroken. King Artaxerxes, you must let me go and return to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall.
What? Are you not?
No, with the wall destroyed, the enemies of my people are free to come and go. I must go and rebuild the wall so that my God will be honored.
All right, you may go.
Yes.
And Nehemiah leads us to scene 9, the return to Jerusalem.
Or deja vu, I feel like I've been here before.
Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem with the help of King Artaxerxes and rallied the Jews to begin rebuilding the wall.
Okay, everybody. We're going to rebuild this wall. The city will be strong and God's people will be free to return. And our God will be honored.
And so the Jewish people worked and worked.
Hi ho, hi ho, it's off to work we go.
Around the clock they worked. They faced much opposition. The enemies of the Jews tried to stop them, and they carried their swords in one hand and their tools in the other.
Hey, Charlie, wrong hand. Your hammer's in your other hand.
But I'm a Benjamin and I'm left-handed.
But despite the opposition they faced, they rebuilt the entire wall around the city of Jerusalem in 52 days.
Woohoo!
During the rebuilding of the walls, Nehemiah became governor, and he led the people in an amazing thing.
The time has come, my friends, to return to following God. God has brought us home to this, the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham. Now we must return to being his people and living our lives his way.
And in a way, that happened. The people recommitted themselves to God and to living in his ways for the first time in many years. They didn't get it perfect, but it was closer than they had been for a long time.
Years passed. 400 of them, to be exact. Not much was written about what happened at that time.
We do know that Rome, who had been traveling the world conquering cities, took over Jerusalem. They didn't enslave the Jews, but they put a king over them. His name was Herod.
Not much else happened during that time. The Jews went about their lives, following God, but not knowing what it was like to be in that perfect relationship with him that he had designed from the beginning.
Until one silent night,
the cry of a newborn baby is heard from the depths of a filthy stable.
But that is the rest of the story. After all, a good writer always leaves room for a sequel.